prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and you believe it or not, it's the first day of July 2020. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're so glad you're with us, and I do mean that. We're going to cover a very hot topic tonight. It's not complicated if you study it, but it's still a topic that a lot of people don't want to discuss. And I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Before we do that, we have several announcements to make very quickly. We are going to have church this weekend, Lord willing. Bible study, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can watch us if you want to on PastorButch.com. Click on live stream, and we'll be there. You can also call on the phone and listen on the phone if you like. I get a pen handy in case I'll give you the phone number just in a minute. I definitely want to, if you listen and be there if you can, because this lesson, folks, the lesson is going to be entitled The Antinomian Church and the Antichrist. Antinomian means without law. Matter of fact, it means to oppose the law. The lawless church, so to speak, and the Antichrist, which means lawless one. You're going to hear this teaching this weekend. Matter of fact, it's so important, I may not even do a current event, because it may take longer than an hour to go through the lesson. We will see come Saturday. But you can join us by calling this number also, 605-562-0489. That's 605-562-0489. Or you can call 719-718-1679. To listen to the program. If you missed it tomorrow and missed those numbers and you want to join us, you call us tomorrow in the office. I'll be in the office all day from 9 to 4 tomorrow, Lord willing. You can call us at 800-777-4403. Or if you have long distance, it will save us money, folks, if you'll call the toll number 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. I'm here to take phone calls, answer questions, minister if I can. I'd love to do that. And just say hi to you. If you want to place orders tomorrow, anything we offer, we now have a new catalog out. If you want a copy of the catalog, you call tomorrow, leave your address. We will send you a copy of the catalog. I mean, I think you'll find it very impressive. I really do. But, of course, we are offering other things, too. We're still offering all four Stan Johnson books, Secret Door to Understand the Bible Prophecy, Tribulation Secrets in Daniel, God's Warning to America, and Miss the Mark. Don't take the mark of the beast. All four of those, folks, are $60 or $20 apiece. Your choice. But we have available here at the ministry if you want them. Just call tomorrow and tell us what you want. We have three of them in. I'll be here soon. But we'll give them all to you ASAP. But if you want the books, just call and let us know, please. And, of course, we're still offering Backyard Medicine. A great book that everyone needs in their library. Everyone needs that book. Honest, you do. Folks, it's a fantastic book. It's $18.95 delivered to your door. We have the Grand Design Exposed, a book that you should read from the history of this country for $12.95, of course. We have all these things available. We have the Strauss, all the Strauss products, the heart drops, the kidney drops, all this. Of course, all the vitamin toothpaste and mouthwash is all here. REM Sleep is here. So Tranquil is here from Dr. Matthew Pfeiffer, someone invented REM Sleep. It's all available tomorrow if you want it. You call and ask questions if you like about tomorrow at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And if you listen on shortwave tonight, don't forget that Melody Seastrom, Discount Gold and Silver, is sponsoring the broadcast on shortwave tonight. Her number to call is 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Before we go further in the program and discuss the Civil War with you, I want to say this. In my heart over the last few months, in my spirit, I should say, I've had an urgency about what's happening this summer, and I've had a real urgency what's happening, what's going to happen in November. Now, I don't claim to be a prophet, never did, and never will, in the sense of a prophet of the Old Testament. In my spirit, I sense November is going to be hell in this nation. Well, I was sent a video from a pastor, Dana Coverstone, from a church in Burkesville, Kentucky, 15 minutes long, that said exactly what I've been sensing in my spirit. And folks, if you don't prepare yourself for what's coming, I do believe, 4 months from now, and in November, with storable food, water filters, we have Berkey water filters available now. We have good prices on them, folks. If you want them, you'll help the ministry, but you help yourself also. For about $250, $300, you'll get a water filter that will take care of you in case things do fall apart. You have to drink rainwater off the roof. You can do it with a Berkey water filter. We have them available. Just call the office line, order what you want. And we also, of course, will take the Melody Seastrom. We'll help you with some gold and silver coins to protect your wealth. All of these things are coming together. And I hope that Brother Cloverstone and I both are wrong. I do. I really hope we're wrong. Hope we come into December, January, and everything goes slide right on through. But folks, in my spirit, I don't sense that at all. November is going to be hell in America. Maybe around the world. I don't know. But I'm talking about America. So you need to call Melody up and talk to her. You truly, truly do. But anyway, let's move on with it because this is important. If you went to the public school system just like I did, you do not know history. You know what has been passed off for history to cover the truth of history. Most people go to public schools today don't even know how to read and write and can't write in cursive. They're not taught how to do that. If they have a computer screen in front of them, they're lost. They can't answer track without a calculator. The public school system has destroyed America because it was intended to. No, the public school system is not a failure. It's done exactly what it's supposed to do. It's destroyed America's intelligence, if you will. It's knowledge. And Hosea 4, 6, and 7 will tell you, folks, I mean, read it for yourself. The nation, people destroyed without knowledge. That's what it says. Read it for yourself. There's a people that without knowledge grows and increases. They forget God and who gave them all the blessings they have. Hosea 4, 6, and 7. Read it for yourself. And you know, Thomas Jefferson, and I'm not necessarily a Thomas Jefferson fan because he was more of a humanist than anything else, but nonetheless, he said this. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. A people that are ignorant of the truth of their heritage, where they come from, what they've been through, what they've done, are absolutely on a road to destruction. America is proof of that, 100% proof of that. America has forgotten her heritage. No one even knows that we're truly founded as a Christian nation in 1600. No one knows that. No one really cares anymore. But we've lost everything because we've been ignorant of the truth of this country. Now, I'll say this and move on. No nation that's tried to build a multicultural society has ever existed long. No nation that tries to please all peoples and all religions will last for long. It's impossible. It's never happened. And America has tried to do that, and America has been destroyed. America is in the process of being totally destroyed. Now, let's move on to what I want to talk to you about tonight. If you read your Bible, and I hope you do, you'll find in 1 Kings a story about Rehoboam and Jeroboam, brothers. And you'll find that one of them took the reign after his dad Solomon died. And he told the people that they complained to him. They said, Solomon, our taxes are too high. We can't afford to pay them. And there's Rehoboam. We can't afford to pay them. The tax is too high. But Rehoboam said, I don't care. Whatever my dad charged, I'm going to double it, so to speak. And when his brother heard about that, the nation of Israel split. The nation of Israel became a northern and southern kingdom. And they split over taxation. Now let that sink in a minute. Israel was split. Not over religion. Not over any other reason that in the Bible I can tell. But taxation. Some of the people say, we're not going to do this again. We're not going to pay these taxes. And they left. They seceded from the other tribes. So this isn't anything new. But as you study the Civil War, you're going to find out, and I hate to use the word Civil War, nothing civil, it's actually the War of Northern Aggression. Nonetheless, you're going to find out that they were splitting of the same reason. Taxation. Not slavery. Slavery had very little to do with it at all. As a matter of fact, did you know that in New Jersey, at least until 1860, they had slaves in New Jersey, but they were cunning in the North. They didn't call them slaves. They call them apprentices for life. Sounds better, doesn't it? It's like a homosexual being called a gay. Gay sounds better than being called a sodomite or sexual deviant. Or like adultery doesn't sound as nice as extramarital affair or one-night fling, does it? Well, the word fornication doesn't sound near as nice as premarital sex. So they call them apprentices for life. And make another point very quickly before we move on. Not one slave was ever brought to this country under the Confederate flag. Not one slave came to America under the Confederate flag. Not one. They all come under the stars and bars. That's right. And they were imported into the North. A lot of them. So don't, let's not hear this all poor little pity people. No. And the people that the blacks that were brought over to be slaves, and they weren't the only ones, by the way, but the blacks brought over to be slaves, the slaves were sold to the flesh buyers by their own peoples. No one wants to hear that, do they? They really don't. And to show you how narrow-minded and how selfish and how bigoted the North was, listen to this. Most people think of New York as a center of all that is liberal and progressive in America, with strong Dutch instilled values of tolerance permeating the culture. However, New York is also a place of business, and before the Civil War, that meant it dealt heavily with the business of slavery. In December 1860, South Carolina became the first state to secede, but on January 7th, 1861, New York Mayor Fernando Wood suggested that the city follow suit. He said, although New York ended its slavery in 1827, the city profited from slave-growing cotton, which accounted for 7/8 of the world's supply. The city positioned itself the center of international trade. So he said, we'll succeed with the South when keeping business. It was not, New York did not enter the war because of slavery. As a matter of fact, New York City wanted to secede from the Union. I know people don't want to hear that. I know they don't. But it says during the first 3 months of 1861, New York City boldly flirted with leaving the Union. The reasons were decades in the making, but the sentiment was never more pointed than on January 6, 1861, when New York Mayor Fernando Wood addressed the City Council. It would seem that a dissolution of the Federal Union is inevitable. He said, this is New York. It would seem that a dissolution of the Federal Union is inevitable, he observed, noting the sympathy joining New York to our aggravated brethren of the slave states. He called the southern states aggravated brethren of the slave states, and suggesting that the city declare its own independence from the Union. When this Union has become a fixed and a certain fact, why may not New York disrupt its bands, which bind her to a venal and corrupt master? They didn't like the federal government either in the North, which ruled the country. But it said, bind her to venal and corrupt master, to a people and a party that have plundered her revenues, attempted to ruin her, take away the power of self-government, and destroy the Confederacy of which she was the proud Empire City. Bet y'all didn't know that, did you? You know why you didn't know it? You went to public school, just like I did. That's why you didn't know it. New York City wants to secede from the Union. Now, a lot of this I'm sharing, by the way, tonight, are available in the packet. I'll send you if you want it. The packet on the Everything You Know About the Civil War is Wrong, written by Jonathan Clark, along with a packet on the Confederate flag of what it really means. And if you want it, we'll throw in the prophecies of Dimitri Dubin. All this for $10, folks. That does pay for postage and handling. I have to do that. I can't afford to give it away. I really can't. I wish I could. But the Civil War is probably one of the most misunderstood events in the history of the United States. You know that. And it's really odd, as Mr. Clark here says, that probably one of the most single events that people really think they understand, and they have no idea what it means. Now, I'm going to share some things with you out of this article, and I want you to think about this. This is why I'm offering this, folks. I know that this will not change what's happening in the country. I know what I'm telling you tonight will not change what's happening in this country, but it may help you understand some more truth. Now, maybe you can share with somebody else. I do feel in my spirit, deeply in my spirit, that America is finished as a country as we know it now. It's done. But knowing the truth may help you understand why it's happening. That's why I'm going to do the teaching this weekend on the Antinomian Church and the Antichrist. You're going to understand how he's going to deceive a lot of those who go to church. They're already lawless. So joining the lawless won't be no big deal. Let's move on. It's likely difficult for many of us, and nearly impossible for younger generations, to imagine a world without air conditioning, refrigeration, and amply filled grocery stores, which is nothing to say of life without the internet, smartphones, and Amazon. To truly understand any historical event, one must study it within a proper context, what is commonly referred to as contextualization. But as generation after generation pass, we internalize notions about why people behaved the way they did in the past. And often, we interpret stories of events through the lens of popular culture, which many of which are not entirely accurate. And folks, I would call that the modern-day uneducation system. The modern-day uneducation system. The Civil War is chief among these. This is probably one of the most misunderstood historical events in this country. And we think we know about it. For most of us, including me, we attended public schools where we were provided roughly the same instruction regarding the Civil War. A country was composed of the North, where people opposed slavery, and the South, where slavery was embraced. Abraham Lincoln rose to the presidency and fought against the South to end slavery and save the Union. Plausible enough until I read a couple of books by Charles Adams, a tax historian and author from New England, hardly a Southern extremist with an axe to grind. In these fascinating books, Adams explores how taxation affected historical events and how the popular interpretation of the Civil War survives in the face of some obvious facts. Remember Rehoboam and Jeroboam? The nation split over taxation? This is my opinion, only my opinion. I don't think God wants to see his people split again. Maybe that's why the South did not win the war. Let's move on. As Jonathan Clarker says, after reading the facts, he said, I had to revise my thinking. Consider that throughout the presidential campaign of 1860, then-candidate Abraham Lincoln had all but promised not to interfere with Southern slavery, which he reiterated in his first presidential inauguration address. He said, I have no purpose, directly or indirectly, to interfere with the institution of slavery where it exists. I believe I have no lawful right to do so, and I have no inclination to do so. We're going to read more about that in a little bit. Lincoln did not like black people. Oh, I know what's been hyped up to be. When you go to Tijuana, Mexico, where I'll be going, as you all know, week after next, my wife and I, Marcia Jean, down to the BioCare Hospital, you'll find a statue of Lincoln walking with a chain in his hand and showing he's breaking a chain of slavery. They were taught lies also. Now back to the article. This seems to run contrary to the conventional thinking. Wasn't he an abolitionist? Furthermore, Lincoln promised to enforce the fugitive slave laws as president, laws that passed by Congress in 1793 and 1850 to provide for the return of slaves who escaped from one state into another state or territory. Indeed, Southern secession would have made slavery more precarious without the protection of the Constitution and the Supreme Court. From a slave property standpoint, staying in the Union was more sense than leaving. Did you hear what I said? If the South would have stayed in the Union, they would have been protected to keep their slavery. So there was not fought over slavery. Slavery really had nothing to do with this. Please understand that the South could have profited, as far as slavery goes, more by staying in the Union. Adding further confusion are the numerous accounts from contemporary newspapers from the North, South, and Europe, all of which tell the tale of a tariff war, not the popularly held notion that the Civil War was a war against slavery. It was a war over taxation, just like Israel, the split in the northern and southern kingdoms. Isn't it amazing that history kind of repeats itself in a different way? It's too easy to assign blame for the Civil War on the South and slavery, and intellectually lazy. Like many other conflicts, the Civil War was decades in the making, and a combination of unresolved issues between northern and southern states, and it finally came to a head during the 1860 presidential campaign and election. To fully understand the Civil War, it's vital to recognize that we are dealing with two separate issues, the cause for secession and the cause of the war. Let's begin with the cessation. In 1860, nearly all federal tax revenue was generated by tariffs. There were no personal or corporate income taxes, and the southern states were paying the majority, approximately 80% of the tariffs, with an impending new tariff that would nearly triple the rate of taxation. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Back then, there was no income taxes. There was no personal taxes, no corporate taxes. They were unconstitutional, and still are. But you have them, because Constitution means nothing. But the South was going to have, they were already paying 80% of the taxes in the country already. The South was paying 80%, and they were going to triple them. Adding insult to injury, much of the tax revenues collected from the imports in the South went to northern industrial interests and had been for decades. The 1860 Republican platform promised more of the same, which was further eroding the trust of the Southerners. Remember, the slave labor practice of the South contrasted greatly with the industries of the North. Without slave labor, most Southern plantations wouldn't have survived. There simply weren't enough workers. Slavery was inextricably linked to the South. While the issue of slavery was, in fact, a primary concern for the South, the secessionist movement began decades before the Civil War. At the same time, the tariff reduced the amount of British goods sold to the South, effectively making it more difficult for the British to pay for Southern cotton. It's the one of the South would refer to the tariff of 1828 as a tariff of abominations. Folks, you catching this? Lincoln supported the runaway slave law, as you call it. The slave got away and crossed state lines. They were sent back. They were not allowed to stay in the state they escaped to. Lincoln was not anti-slavery. Now, I'm going to prove it with more in just a minute. Now, folks, this is all available to you if you want it. If you have the courage to read it, you want to share with your friends, make copies, share with your friends, please do so. I don't think this is going to change anything in this country. But again, it may help all of us understand why we are where we are. We have become ignorant through the deliberate dumbing down of America, as Charlotte Isby wrote in the book she wrote several years ago, the deliberate dumbing down of America. That's what happened in this country. The war to save the Union. To understand how the war began, we should begin with the words of Abraham Lincoln. Now, please listen. These are Abraham Lincoln's words. And these are all documented. All the footnotes are in the article, so you know where they come from. I have no purpose, directly or indirectly, to interfere with the institution of slavery in the states wherein it exists. So, that's why I read that. So I have no lawful right to do so and no inclination to do so. Those who nominated and elected me did so with full knowledge that I made this and many similar declarations and had never recanted them. While promising not to interfere with the institution of slavery, Lincoln also argued, no state upon its own mere motion can lawfully get out of the Union. Then he threw down the gauntlet against the rebellion. In doing this, there needs to be no bloodshed or violence, and there shall be none unless it is forced upon the national authority. The power confided to me will be used to hold, occupy, and possess the property and places belonging to the government, and to collect the duties and imposts. But beyond what may be necessary for these objects, there will be no invasion, no using of force against among the people anywhere. What Lincoln said was, I will make sure that we get our duties paid, our taxes collected. If they do that peacefully, there'll be no war. Lincoln argued that secession was legally and unconstitutionally impossible, a view that stood in stark contrast to his state belief by the member of Congress just 12 years earlier. In his speech to the House of Representatives regarding the war with Mexico, Lincoln argued in favor of secession. Any people, anywhere, being inclined and having the power, have the right to rise up and shake off the existing government and form a new one that suits them better. Doesn't that sound a lot like the Declaration of Independence? Does it not? He goes on to say, this is a most valuable, a most sacred right, a right which we hope and believe is to liberate the world. Nor is it this right confined to the cases in which the whole people of the existing government may choose to exercise it. Any portion of such people that may revolutionize and make their own way, own of so much of the territory as they inhabit. He said even the whole state didn't have to do it. Even people inside the state can secede. It didn't take the whole group. Everyone, he said, has a right to secede from the government they belong to. Everyone, Lincoln was for secession. Be changing mind when it comes down to looking at money, folks. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Don't go away. This is war.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men. 5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Humana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best storable foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Humana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
Now, folks, if you want to talk to us after a while, I'm going to try to squeeze you in a phone call, too, probably about 15 minutes from now. But you can call 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. You call if you want, get on the line, we'll hold a place for you. I'll talk to you just as soon as we get to it, okay? Because I do want to talk to you if you have any questions, comments, I really do. Let's move on with the article. That's the article, folks, available to you. There's a lot I'm not reading. This is only bits and pieces of it. I can't read it all because it's too long. But I just read to you that Lincoln had no intention of interfering with slavery, and he also said 12 years before he became president that everyone had a right to secede and set up a new government that suits them better, even pieces of property inside states, not just states. Wow, something changed. Perhaps his views changed between his time in Congress and become president, but it's not forgiven his involvement in the creation of the state of West Virginia, where I live, by the way, during the Civil War, which provided his party additional electoral votes and congressional representation, an act Lincoln's own Attorney General believed was unconstitutional. Folks, America has never been and will never be a legal state, lawful state, I should say. Not legal, lawful. Ever. Move on. After the first state seceded, many in the northern press After the first state seceded, many in the northern press expressed opposition to war with the South. Writing in the New York Tribune, Horace Greeley, and y'all know who he was, he's the one that said, "Go West, young man." Horace Greeley declared, "We hope never to live in a republic where one section is pinned to the residue by bayonets." One more time. "We hope never to live in a republic where one section is pinned to the residue by bayonet." Now, folks, this is written in the New York Tribune. The Tribune was among the great newspapers of its time, an influential journal of the Republican Party, and Greeley was among the day's opinion leaders. Moreover, many of Lincoln's advisors also recommended against any action that might lead to a war with the South. Even Lincoln's top army general, or commander, wanted nothing to do with the war. Let the wayward sister depart in peace, urged General Wilf Winfield Scott. Let the wayward sisters depart in peace. Secretary of State William Seward also advised the new president to let the rebellious states go and avoid actions that could upset the states of the Upper South. He thought that eventually the aggravated states would see the error of their ways and campaign for reunification. I do not think it was wise to provoke a civil war beginning in Charleston, South Carolina, and in rescue of an unattainable position. But it didn't take long before Northern newspapers editors did the math and realized what secession really meant for Northern enterprises. In addition to the loss of tax revenue, the South's free trade position would have had dire consequences for Northern ports. Are you getting a clear picture, folks? Who is talking about slavery here? Who said we got to free the slaves? Not Lincoln. Not the newspapers in the North. Not the people of the North. They didn't want to lose the money. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it amazing how the dollar is the cause of a lot of wars and struggles between people? Isn't it? In the British Journal, now again, I'm skipping through the article. I can't read it all night. It's available to you if you want it. In the British Journal, all year round, Charles Dickens observed, and y'all know who Charles Dickens was, I'm sure, union means to so many millions a year lost to the South. Secession means the loss of the same millions to the North. The love of money is the root of this as of many other evils. Let me repeat that. Union means so many millions lost to the South. In other words, the tariffs are going to triple. The South will lose money. Secession means the same means lost to the North. Isn't that interesting? Let's see. Now, y'all were taught that. What part of your public school were you taught this truth in? I dare say never was taught to you. Meanwhile, the South was moving forward to organize it as a new nation. On February 8, 1861, the Confederate States of America was formed and inaugurated Jefferson Davis as its president. There was, it seemed, no way to remedy the secession issue and its associated financial stress to the North, except by forcing the South to rejoin the Union. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The only way they can protect the North's finances is to make the South stay. But the last thing the Confederacy wanted was a war with Lincoln. The South did not want a war. In fact, soon after Jefferson Davis became the first president of the CSA, he dispatched, pay attention, folks, because this is important. You understand why you want to vomit when you look at the Lincoln Memorial. He dispatched a commission to Washington, D.C. to negotiate a treaty and offer to pay for all federal property in the South. But Lincoln refused to meet with the emissaries, believing acknowledgement would discredit his position that secession was illegal. And that thinking also thwarted the final attempt to resolve the dilemma through a peaceful means. The South tried to engage in a treaty, if you will, conversation to stop the war. Lincoln would have nothing to do with it. Lincoln decides to coax the South into war. In other words, prod them into war. At the time Southern states began seceding, many of the Union forces within their borders were abandoned, save a few. Consider that the U.S. military and government at the start of the Civil War resembled a little like what we have today. The United States had a standing army of about 16,000 men in 1861, most of whom served in poorly equipped outposts. Fort Sumter, a sparsely populated duty collection point in Charleston Harbor, was one of a few forts where Union personnel remained. As is evident from Lincoln's contemporaries, an attempt to send Union troops to any of the Confederate states would provoke a war. Now, folks, pay attention to Lincoln's sly move here. Lincoln was pretty cunning. Lincoln knew that if the South Carolina and Confederacy allowed the fort to be provisioned, it would make it a mockery of their sovereignty. If the Confederacy fired on the Union ships, would mean it would have been the Confederacy, not Lincoln, who fired the first shots of the war. Pretty slick, don't you think? He was a master of the situation, wrote Lincoln's private secretary John Nicolay and John Hay. Master, if the rebels hesitated or repented, because they would therefore forfeit their prestige with the South, master if they resisted or persisted, for he would then command a united North. The South couldn't win in either way on this. Lincoln tricked them into war. Lincoln knew what he was doing when he ordered Fort Sumter to be resupplied. He was a cunning politician, and Fort Sumter was his opportunity. He seized it, believing it would be a short war. He couldn't have been more wrong. Viewing the Civil War as a crusade to end slavery is simply not correct. Abolitionists never accounted for more than a sizable minority of the North. This cause of war in 1861 wasn't slavery. It was about the loss of means and tax revenues. Nor was it a civil war. The Confederate States had no aspirations to rule the Union any more than George Washington sought to control the Great Britain in 1776. In both the American Revolutionary War and the Civil War, independence was the goal. The South wasn't trying to rule the North. They just want to be set free to live their lives, not be ruled by the federal government pressing them with taxation. From 1800 to 1815, three series attempts at secession were orchestrated by the New England Federalists. So let me repeat this. From 1800 to 1815, three serious attempts at secession were orchestrated by New England Federalists, who were infuriated by what they believed was unconstitutional act by President Thomas Jefferson. Among the voices for secession was Connecticut Senator James Hillhouse, who declared the Eastern states must and will dissolve the Union and form a separate government. I will rather anticipate a new Confederacy exempt from the corrupt and corrupting influence and oppression of the aristocratic Democrats of the South. The North actually wants to secede first. Are you getting this? How many of y'all can raise your hand and say, I knew that? It's important to recognize that up until September 1862, the stated purpose of the war had been to preserve the Union. With the issuance of the Emancipation Proclamation, Lincoln sought to change the focus of the war. He wanted to look like a good guy, folks. But the Emancipation Proclamation freed no one, not a single slave. All persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of the state, the people whereof shall then be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then thenceforth and forever free. Only the southern states were in rebellion, only they were. And Lincoln had no control over the Confederacy. You understand, the states that wanted slavery were the ones that he had no control over. Nor did he have the power to free the slaves in the South or the Union. That would require a constitutional amendment, which wouldn't occur until after the Civil War. In 1865, the 13th Amendment abolished slavery. Indeed, this was a last-ditch effort to cripple the Confederate Army. Lincoln hoped that it would entice Southern slaves to leave and join the ranks of the Union Army, departing the Confederacy's labor force, which is sorely needed to wage war against the Union. Woodrow Wilson, writing in the History of American People, proposed that if it was necessary to put the South at a moral disadvantage by transforming the contest from war waged against states fighting for their independence into a war waged against states fighting for their maintenance and extension of slavery. Wilson himself said this war was not fought over slavery. It's fought because the states would become independent. Prior to the proclamation, Lincoln confessed to New York Tribune editor Horace Greeley, "Now listen, people, Lincoln confessed to Horace Greeley, the editor of the New York Tribune, my paramount object in this struggle is to save the Union, and is not either to save or destroy slavery. If I could save the Union without freeing a slave, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would do that." Charles Dickens observed of the proclamation, "The Northern onslaught upon slavery is no more than a piece of specious humbug designed to conceal its desire for economic control of the southern states." Wouldn't you like to make copies of this and give them to all your friends? Maybe they read them. Myths which are widely believed tend to become truth. False teachings, folks, often do tend to become truth, do they not? In reality, it really is remarkable how many of our properly held beliefs about the Civil War fail critical scrutiny. Not just the causes of secession in the war, but many of the other elements of the period. The most incredible of these myths is that of our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. For all that has been written by Lincoln, so few texts actually portray his presidency. One is only to spend a little time on the internet reading his own words to witness the legend of Lincoln fall apart. Let's just say it one more time. One only has need to spend a little time on the internet reading his own words to witness the legend of Lincoln fall apart. Now let that just sink in, folks, just for a second. The legend fall apart. This is what he said. Lincoln said, I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of the whites and black races. That I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of making voters or jurors of Negroes, nor of qualifying them to hold office, nor to intermarry with the white people, And I will say, in addition to this, that there is a physical difference between the white and black races, which I believe will forever forbid the two races living together on terms of social and political equality. That has proven to become very true, especially the social equality. Hey, Lincoln said, I didn't. By denying the charge that he was an abolitionist as a presidential debate, Abraham Lincoln expressed his views about the black race, all of whom he thought should be sent back to Africa or to an island in the Caribbean, in his speech on the Dred Scott decision. This is what he said. I have said that the separation of the races is the only perfect preventive of amalgamation. I have no right to say all the members of the Republican Party are in favor of this, nor to say that as a party they all are in favor of it. There is nothing in their platform directly on the subject, but I can say a very large proportion of the members are for it, and that the chief plank in their platform opposition to the spread of slavery is most favorable to that separation. Such separation is ever affected at all must be affected by colonization. In other words, he said, if we free them, they got to be colonized. The blacks cannot live among the whites. That's what Lincoln was saying. Your freedom hero, the man that freed the slaves. What a pack of lies. Indeed, his public remarks, which are well documented, indicate he had little regard for the blacks. I have no purpose to introduce political and social equality between the white and black races. As Alexis de Tocqueville observed in Democracy in America, the prejudice of the race appears to be stronger in the states which have abolished slavery than in those where it still exists. And nowhere is it so intolerant as in those states where servitude has never been known. In other words, the states that never had black slaves, never had slavery, hated the treated blacks worse than the ones in the states that had slaves. While the Emancipation Proclamation gave Lincoln some breathing room, he still had a tough road before him. The Union was having difficulty getting volunteers to fight in the war, so Congress enacted the nation's first Military Draft Act. In New York City, a town deeply divided over the war, the new conscription law did not sit well with the general populace. Not only were the wealthy allowed to buy their way out of the draft, but it excluded blacks. The day after the draft lottery got underway, demonstrations broke out across New York City and soon morphed into a violent uprising against the city's wealthy and black residents. The New York City draft riots lasted 4 days. Black men were lynched, private property was destroyed, and over 100 people lost their lives. In a Yankee state, folks. It says, how did we get there? Prior to his assassination, Lincoln was often depicted in the contemporary media as a cowardly, devious, grotesque, and animal-like. During his presidency and for many years after his death, he was the object of much scorn and derision. It's not difficult to understand why. He started the war without the consent of Congress, had men conscripted into fighting the war, suspended habeas corpus, had cities burned, imprisoned political enemies, and had dissenting newspapers shut down and the owners in prison. Are you getting this? Most texts about the Civil War and biographies of Abraham Lincoln gloss over his shortcomings with the excuse that the ends somehow justified the means. But as historians continually evacuate Lincoln's life and times, which with each unturned stone, another fable is tarnished and truth revealed. Folks, there's much more to the article than we can't read it all night, but it's available to you if you want it. I just read it to you. Will this change anything in this country as far as slowing down the BLM movement? No, it won't. I'll tell you again, and I hope I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, you just call me up on December 1st and say, Pastor, you were wrong by November. Say you were wrong, and I'll say, praise God I was wrong. But I don't think I'm wrong. November is going to be hell in this country. I've never in my lifetime ever said that about anything and set a date, so to speak, when things are going to really start falling apart. I never have done it before, and all I've been preaching over 40 years, on the radio going 28 years. I've never said that before. I am now. Let's take a phone call from Dino, Wisconsin. Dino, come on in. You've got a few minutes. Come on in, sir.
Yeah, what you're saying, Urban Butch Paul, I was brainwashed when I'm 70 years old, that it was about slavery too. And yeah, you, What you're saying, friend, is 100% correct. I have a question for you.
Yes,
I have the book here called The Real Lincoln. A new look at him, Unnecessary War, his hidden agenda, by Thomas D. Lorenzo, written in 2003. Do you have that book?
No, I don't. I do not have that book.
Oh,
no doubt.
I'll send it to mine next week, friend. This book here explains in 300 pages what you just said. His name is Thomas D. Lorenzo. I've had this book since well over 15 years. What you're saying is in this book. It's one of the, you ain't going to find it obviously in a library. This is amazing. And remember the book called, by Charlotte Thompson Isserby?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You interviewed her. Yeah. You know
yes,
her,
I
right?
Am. Yes, yes.
Good. I have that book here, yes. Too. But,
yeah. We have fallen into a mess. We are in a mess. We truly are, Dina. We're in a mess because we're ignorant. This all happened because of ignorance.
Yep.
Sad. Anything else you want to say?
And John Wilkes Booth, there was more than one person in on that. Here's a quick comment for you. History is wrong. How about we change it, but to his story, H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y. Christ. Right, Butch?
Amen. Right on the money. Good call. Good call, Dino. Good call. Thank you. I got to jump. A good call. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate that. And folks, you're telling the truth. I mean, it's all the truth. Do you understand now what I was saying about the real war was over taxation, just as it was in Israel? It divided Israel? That's not a coincidence, folks. I do believe God said, I'm not going to let my people be divided again. Thank you the way you want to. We've been duped in with a bunch more lies. Let's go next to Steve in South Carolina. Steve, welcome.
Yeah, well, thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
You a first-time caller? Well, welcome to the program.
Yes,
you're part of the family now, so you just make yourself to home.
Thank you.
Come on in.
Okay, well, I had a couple of things I might mention. You lived in the North and you had enough money, you could buy your way out of the draft.
Yeah, I shared that. I did share that, yes. Yes, I shared that.
It was a poor man's war. And the second thing
it was.
Because the South had a constitutional right to secede, and because Fort Sumter was within the territorial waters of South Carolina, it should have been surrendered to the North. Instead, Lincoln sent the fort additional supplies,
yep.
Which the South
yes,
regarded as an act of war, and they were told this would be an act of war before he sent the supplies.
That's right.
So,
Lincoln was very, Lincoln's very shrewd.
Yeah, tooth rude. Well, anyway, Freemason Beauregard obliged them by firing on the fort. The whole thing boils down to follow the money.
Amen. Taxation.
Thank you program.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, for your program.
A quick question, Steve. How do you listen to us?
Shortwave.
Oh, great. Okay. Now, you know, if you can't hear it at 8 o'clock, you can listen on 3215 at 11 o'clock, same broadcast, if you want to listen to it. If you don't hear it at 8 o'clock?
Oh, I didn't know it was there. I'm on 6115, I think, now.
Yeah, that's where you're at. And if it doesn't come in well some night, just go to 3215 at 11 o'clock. You hear the same broadcast over again.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. Good info.
You're welcome. Thank you. God bless you, sir.
Okay,
thanks for the call. Now, folks, I love new callers. If you want to call, you have time yet. And I love new callers. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. I'm just a hillbilly preacher is all I am. All I'm trying to do is expose the truth. Isn't that a pastor's job? Paul said, do you hate me because I tell the truth? If you do because I tell the truth, then so be it. You're not mad at me. You're mad at the truth. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. If you want to talk to me, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left here. And don't forget, tomorrow's office day. I'll be there all day long. Like I said, Lord willing, from 9 to 4 tomorrow, I'll be here. I'll be joined Dorian Melly Seastrom tomorrow afternoon on her program at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern. But we sincerely want to hear from you tomorrow, folks. We really do. If you help us pay the bills, that's wonderful. But if you can't, just call and say hi to us. And especially if you're a new listener, you never called before, on the air or in the office day, don't think I'm somebody that don't want to talk to you. Believe me, I'm just a hillbilly preacher. I'm nothing special at all. I'm just me. You ever come meet me, you'll find out. I'll sit on the front porch with you and drink a glass of tea with you. We'll sit there and talk. I'm nothing more than anybody else. I'm just a servant of Christ. Maybe called to a different position. Pastor, preacher, and talk show host. But that doesn't mean that what you're doing is not important, because this is a team effort. And if we're all in the body of Christ, folks, the body works together. And let me tell you, that is true. And I do encourage you, though, folks, to please pray that I'm wrong on what I've said. But just to be sure, prepare yourself for what's coming. I mean, prepare yourself. I pray that I'm wrong, and I hope that the brother Coverstone is wrong also. I do. I don't want to see it. It's 4 months away. I don't want to see it. But with this 15-minute video that I will send you, if you just email me and say, I want that video, I can put you on the magazine list. You get the Minuteman magazine free every month on email. Email me at pastorbutch@startmail.com. pastorbutch@startmail.com. And I'll see that you get that video, and also you see you get a copy of July's magazine. PastorButch@startmail.com. But we want to get the truth out to you. I really mean that, folks. We are in dire, dire danger here. We are in danger more than I can express on 1,000 programs. We've watched this nation crumble and fall apart, especially after the war between the states. After the war of Northern Aggression, we saw this country start crumbling under federalist powers. We've seen it happen. Now it's to the point that they tell us when to wear a mask and when we can leave our homes. Soon they're going to tell you that you've got to have a vaccination passport to cross state lines. Oh, it's coming. I promise that's coming. And a lot more than that's coming. The vaccination will probably have a chip in it. Or at least an invisible tattoo. This is all planned. Look it up for yourself. I think it's probably in July's magazine. If you want a copy, you have to see that. This is all happening right now as we speak. These plans are in the works. And I don't know exactly what the future holds, except that the nation that forgets God is turned into hell. And I do believe November is going to be the start of that big time. I mean that. I'll see you in office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. I do love you. Please know that. I hope to talk to you soon. Have a wonderful night. Good night.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.